Well, I have good news and I have bad news. Depends on how you want to take it. I have no notes tonight. Tonight, I just wanted to spend a few moments of some time talking to you about baptism, about what we just witnessed, what we participated, what we celebrated with Aiden. Where'd Aiden go?
Oh, man.
Did he just now leave? Okay. Well, I'm going to have somebody go fetch him here in a little bit. But what we celebrated with Aiden and the Jackson family and was special. It's special. And here's kind of the question, and depends on who you ask, depends on really kind of what their formal worship background is or theology background is, but the question is, do you have to be baptized to be saved to go to heaven? Different places and people teach different yes or no or whatever. And so, you know, if it's up to you and me to decide that, well, we're going to come to a whole bunch of different conclusions. So let's go back and just kind of see what the Scripture says, because there was a time when Jesus was actually on the earth and he was hanging on a cross, and there was a dude next to him who was a thief, who was dying, and he cried out to Jesus Christ for salvation. And Jesus said some words to him. Anybody recall what he said? Verily, verily, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, did Jesus have an opportunity to take that young man, clean him up, put a white robe on him or a Dolan Baptist t-shirt and baptize him in the Jordan River before he passed away? No, he did not. So there we have an instance where somebody was assured to be in paradise without baptism. But then we have the Ethiopian, the eunuch, who was reading scriptures and just really couldn't make understands, and God sent Philip to him. So Philip ran, caught up with this chariot, which I think is awesome, amazing, and caught him, and he said, "What are you doing there?" He said, "I'm trying to read these scriptures. I just can't understand them." He said, "Can you explain them to me?" He said, "Yeah." So we, beginning from the beginning, he went through and explained the scriptures to him, and they were going along, and he said, "Brother, there's water right there. What's to keep me from getting baptized right now?" And Philip said, "Not a thing. Let's go," and they went and got baptized, And then we have this statement in the book of Acts. It's chapter 2 of Acts, where Peter is preaching. The Pentecost has just came. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and Peter starts laying it on the people, you know. And then he says here in verse 38, of chapter 2, he says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So he says, basically, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. But I want to clarify that statement right there a little bit, because it's probably not the best literal translation. If I told you this, I need to run into McLean's. We are out of groceries, for I am hungry. Okay? Does that make sense to you? I need to go to McLean's, for I am hungry. Or I need to go to, what's the Mexican food place's name? The El Burrito. I need to go to El Burrito, for I am famished. Okay? That word "for" doesn't mean, it would be better translated, "because." Okay? And really, that's the better translation. Directly coming out of the Greek, that word is translated "because" more often than it's translated "for," but it kind of means the same thing. So if we took that very little translation, it would say, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of your sins." And so that puts a little different, better understanding, a more accurate understanding on that scripture. It's not "be baptized so that you can be forgiven. It's be baptized because you've been forgiven, which makes a whole lot more sense in line with the rest of the totality of Scripture. Is it important that we be baptized, though? If it's not a necessity, what's the importance of that? And that's what I want to talk to you about in just a moment. But first, I want to, somebody, since they went and fetched Aiden, I want to present him with, come here, buddy. I'm going to embarrass you one more time in front of the whole church. At Dolan Baptist, when somebody gets baptized, they get a red t-shirt and it says, "I got baptized at Dolan Baptist Church." And they get to wear that for as long as it fits you. Okay, if you outgrow it and want another one, I'll give you another one. But this is another thing, that it's just a certificate of baptism. And it certifies that Aiden Jackson has been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit on the 6th day of November 2016, Dolan Baptist Church, Dolan, Texas, Pastor Michael Nix. And it talks about the meaning of baptism. And I'm going to talk about those scriptures here in a moment. But you can take this. You can hand that to your parents. Mom, Dad, you can take that and present that to the... Since this is not really your home church, although we'd love to, we call you ours anyway. You just have two homes, I think. But you can present that to the church and show them, you know, he's been baptized, and they can modify their records and show that he's a believer, part of the family, absolutely. But in the book of Romans, chapter 6, we're going to kind of just, I'm just going to speak briefly to you tonight about what I believe the Scripture says is the importance of baptism. Baptism doesn't save us, and that's what I tell. Matter of fact, I spoke with Aiden just a little while ago before that. The baptism itself is not what saves you. It's what happened a few days ago when he prayed and asked the Lord to come into his life, forgive him of his sins, and he says, "And I'm going to let you be the boss." Okay? When you recognize that Jesus is Lord of your life and you submit your own will and yourself to him, that's when you get saved. That's when you receive the eternal forgiveness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he welcomes you into the family. The baptism is just an outward sign of what's going on inside the heart. Okay, and I talked to him about how it represents the death and burial of resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and how we identify with that when he's buried and then raised to new life. Died, buried, and raised again. And that's how it's very symbolic of how we identify with Christ. Paul writes to the church, to the Romans, and in chapter 6, it says, Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." Verse 8. "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him," as if it ever really did. "The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." You see the symbolism there? It's our identity with Christ. So, is it important for us to be identified with Christ? On January 4th of next year, 2017, my wife is smiling because she remembers that date. Actually, she remembers that date of almost 25 years ago. That's the day that we got married up in Palestine, Texas. I married a Palestinian woman. We got married in Southside Baptist Church and she became Rebecca Nix, Mrs. Michael W. Nix. You see, she took my name. She became identified with me. It was that important and that big of a deal. She said, I want to take your name. Well, folks, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we take His name. We become identified with Him. And it's no coincidence that throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament in particular, the relationship is portrayed as a bride and groom relationship. Christ and the church, Christ and the believers. He's the groom, we are the bride. And He talks about that He's coming back, just like the Jews did when they would go off and they would build a room off their father's house, and when he was ready, he would come back, get His bride in the middle of the night sometimes, steal her away, and go off and be married. And they'd have a big feast and all that. And then the Bible talks about all that. That's the story, how it plays out and how it relates, or how it's exemplified in that story. But it's no coincidence, because it's a very, very tangible way that we know about identifying with somebody. Becoming married, taking their name, or sharing, in my case, sharing my name, receiving her, becoming identified with her. We are no longer two people, we are one. And in a marriage ceremony, it talks about the two shall become one flesh. It's right out of Scripture. That's a uniting. That's an identifying. And that's what Christ offers for us. He says, you can identify with me. And let me show you what that looks like. So Jesus Himself went to be baptized. John the Baptist said, oh, surely you're not coming to me. I'm not even worthy enough to tie the strings of your sandals. Jesus said, no, you're going to do this. He was obedient. He was baptized as an example for us. So is it a necessity? It's not a necessity. I don't believe the Bible teaches that it is a necessity. However, it is certainly strongly urged. It is certainly something that the Lord says, this is important, because it unites us. It shows an identity. What Aiden did up here, and everyone that gets baptized, says to everybody that's in attendance, wherever they are, it says, I'm taking up a new name. I'm dying to myself. I'm surrendering my wants and my wishes, and letting Christ be my boss. And I told you several times ago, we have many guests here, especially when I'm speaking with younger folks, Lord and Savior, those are big Bible words that get used a lot. And I just kind of changed those out for something that's more sometimes easy to understand. Lord and Savior means boss and rescuer. Jesus, you're going to be my boss. I'm going to let you be my boss. And people do whatever the boss says. Okay? I'm going to let you be my boss because you rescued me. When I was drowning and couldn't save myself, you rescued me. You saved me. You're my boss and my rescuer. And when we do that, we identify. Well, that's what he was doing. He was standing in that window basically telling all of you, I've done that. I'm telling you right now, all of you out here, that Jesus is my boss and he's my rescuer. And I'm going to live my life for him. And I'm going to be identified with him. And I'm going to take up his name. What are we called? Christians. Wonder where that name comes from. They first called them Christians. It was not a complimentary term. It means little Christs, little Christs. Christ, basically, the people that followed the guy that we killed and that was hung on the cross, a humiliating death. And y'all want to be like him. But today, even back then, to those people, it was the best title they could ever receive. And today it's still the best title you could ever receive. I am a child of the living King. I am a Christian. I am a little Christ. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's what he did when he proclaimed through baptism from that window, that's who I am. That's who I'm becoming. Now, there's still a lot of work to be done in his life. There's still a lot of work to be done in our lives. The beautiful thing about it is God never says, I give up on you. He's just, you're moving too slow for me, bud. He doesn't say, oh, you've done it now. That's just too far. He doesn't say that. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And lo, I'm with you even to the very end of the age. When's the end of the age? When we see him face to face. When we see him face to face. And then we're with him for all of eternity, which has no end. That's baptism. Baptism in a nutshell. The act of baptism doesn't save us. One gets wet. You can actually be baptized and not saved. I pray that that's not with you. I pray that your relationship with Christ is alive and well. If it's not, don't think for a minute that he's not ready to receive you back. And receive you back and say, come on, I've been waiting for you. Let's start back where we left off and let's keep on going. If we'll come to him. And if we've never done that, if we've never come to Christ, he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The symbolism. The identity. You know, I have a ring that I wear on my finger. It reminds me that I'm taken, that I'm spoken for, that I've given myself to another person. And she wears a ring on her finger too. And it tells her that she's spoken for. She's off the market. She's given herself to one other person. That's me. Not only is that a symbol for us to know for ourselves, but that's so that you'll know. And I proudly wear this thing. I proudly wear this thing. I am taken. I have committed myself to one other person for the rest of my life, for the rest of her life. And that's a great thing. And through baptism, we're basically saying the same thing. I'm giving my whole life to Jesus Christ because I owe him everything. He's done everything for me. I owe him my very life. That's why we get baptized. I've almost kept you the full time tonight. See, and some of you are going to say, well, you need to not use notes more often. Because we are so honored to have the family of Aiden, mom and dad, and grandparents and cousins and grandparents, aunts and uncles, and yeah, great-grandfather. And we're glad to have y'all with us tonight. Y'all are welcome with us anytime. We're all family, and we just love. Like I said, we know that they're not really ours, but we're not going to tell it because they really are. Okay? And we're going to claim them. And thank you all for being here tonight. And thank you for being here because this was important. This is important. And really is, it's a celebration. I get to be in the water. Now I'm wearing gear, so I'm not getting wet. Y'all ever wonder how that happens, how I get out so fast? Yeah. I got special gear in there I wear so I don't get wet. But I'm in the water. Aiden's in the water. Whoever's getting baptized is in the water. But you guys are not just sitting here watching it from a distance. It's a celebration. And when somebody gets baptized, we can all hoop and holler. Because why? Because when that person first prayed to receive Jesus Christ, you knew what was going on in heaven? The Bible says that if even just one receives Christ, all of heaven rejoices. That is a party that I'm wanting to see sometime. So we can celebrate that here. We can celebrate it here. They're celebrating it at heaven. We can certainly celebrate it here. And so that's why we do baptism. So thank you all for being here. God bless you. Don't forget, we've got next Saturday. Am I right? A week from yesterday. Okay, 6 days from now. We're going to have Thanksgiving dinner in the gym from 11 to 1. Come. You don't come in at 11. You don't have to come at 11 and eat till 1. You can come anytime in there. Now, some people will come at 11 and eat till 1 or 1:30, but still, that's okay. There'll be lots of food, and there's still room to sign up for more food, so do that. But we'd be honored to have you, anybody, to come and celebrate with us Thanksgiving meal. And like I said, lots of good things coming up. We got Christmas stuff coming up. Told you I'm fixing to head up. Go check out where we're going to be going in Illinois for our mission trip next year and kind of get the get a game plan and figure out what we need, what we're going to do, what we want to accomplish there, and come back. I can't wait to go figure all that out and come back and report to you and start getting excited about that. Got lots of exciting things coming up. So, again, thank you all for being here. Let me close this with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, how your word does not contradict itself. And so, Father, sometimes if something looks contradictory, what we need to do is just get a better understanding. And Lord, we thank you that things can become clear. Things can be made clear. And Lord, we thank you for the teaching in Scripture about being baptized and the significance and importance of that and our identity with you. And Father, may we never, ever be ashamed to call ourselves Christians. Lord, we don't know what the future holds. And there may come a day and a time like it has been in the past when it's very dangerous to do just that. But Father, if that day comes in my lifetime, may I be bold. May I be courageous. May I stand on the truth that I know is the eternal Word of God and say, I am a Christian. And I proclaim it proudly. Not my pride, but proud that you chose me. Even who I am, that you gave your life just for me and anyone else who calls on the name of the Lord. We thank you for that. Go with us now, Father. Some have a ways to travel, so be with them. Give them safe travel tonight, Lord. And Father, may we never forget that you've called us to live a life that's not like others. You've called us to live a life separated out, set apart for your work. So may we submit to that work and be busy about your business. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Y'all take care.